Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
And a good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. Good to be with you.
I want everyone to make a mental note to join us tomorrow afternoon. And if you're listening on podcast, that would be Wednesday the 16th. In the 3 o'clock hour, I'm really excited, Scott. I have a couple of guests joining us from Denver.
When is this?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And here's why. This is how much Scott and I talk about the show.
No, I'm first time hearing of it, to be honest.
And now for a little inside baseball.
Just trust me on this.
Who will I be talking to
you
tomorrow?
You will be talking to the program directors of something called the STAR Initiative, S-T-A-R, which stands for the Support Team Assisted Response Initiative. Anyway, you hear these words thrown around, defund police, and I've said 1,000 times, what does that mean? If we're going to move this pot of money, $40 million, out of the police department into the city, what the hell does that mean, and how is it going to stop people from shooting each other, right? One of the interesting things they have done in Denver, and it has worked, is they have removed all mental health calls to 911 from police function over to mental health crisis expert function, so that if you call and you say my husband is suicidal, or you know, my mother is having an episode, please help, I don't know what's going on,
right. The
dispatch system will reroute some of those calls, instead of to the police department, to this STAR Initiative program, where they have licensed mental health resources, counselors, people who deal in mental health, to take that off the police department's plate. Police officers aren't mental health experts.
Well, they don't want to. They probably don't want to deal with
it. No, they want to be.
They don't want to go on a call like that.
And so one of the first questions I had about this, of course, is, well, how many of these licensed social workers got shot going into these crisis situations where tensions are high? Sometimes there are weapons. The answer I got back to them overnight, Zero. Hmm. Not only was no one injured, they did not have any calls for police backup at any of these scenes. Okay. So it frees police up to do police things.
Good.
Right?
I bet the people who are most excited about this are the police. Yes.
We will talk about
it
tomorrow.
I think so. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, they have finally figured out why you hate the sound of your own voice.
Oh.
Here, Dana, I don't hate the sound of my
own voice. I was just going to say, who hates the sound of their own voice?
I do.
Hate the sound of my own voice.
Why?
Hate it. Do you know how many times I know you listen to replays of this show.
I do.
And I know you listen to the podcast of the show, which, by the way, every show is available at KMBZ.com. Do you know how many times I've listened to this show? And I enjoy being on the show. I think we have a good time. I think we do pretty decent radio. Do you know how many times I've listened to this show? Never once.
I know.
I've never, ever heard the show, other than when we do it live. I can't listen to it.
I think for you, it's an anxiety thing. For me, I listen to it to see where improvements can be made.
You listen to it and you go, damn, I've got a nice voice.
Now I listen to it and I go, what did he just say? That didn't make any sense again.
Same reaction as live.
Listen to it twice and it's still not working for me.
So glad we have that rewind function now because I'm not any smarter.
So Roger Waters of Pink Floyd says that he was offered a gigantic chunk of change by Facebook to use their 1979 hit, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2. Education. Apparently, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook wanted this song. They wanted to buy the rights to use this song in an ad on Instagram.
Okay.
Roger Waters is being very public about his response. Says Roger Waters, it arrived this morning with an offer for a huge, huge amount of money. And the answer is, F you, no effing way. Wow.
Wow.
Roger Waters continued, I only mention that because this is an insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything. I will not be a party to this bull, boop, Mark Zuckerberg.
Wow.
Wow. Walters pulled out a printed copy of Facebook's request and then read it.
I wonder how he really feels.
Well, he also has the money and is in a position to raise a middle finger to that kind of money. It's hard for most people listening to understand that. I would say, you want to give me $20? Yeah, sure. You know what I'm saying? He has so much money, he can turn down millions.
He's not done. I continue the quote. How did this little who started out as she's pretty, we'll give her a 4 out of 5. She's ugly, we'll give her a 1. How did he get any power? And yet, there he is, one of the most powerful idiots in the entire world.
Ow!
Jeez!
He's a huge fan of Mark Zuckerberg.
Wow!
Wow!
F you, no effing way!
And while I'm at it, let me insult your entire life.
I was always a big Pink Floyd, Roger Waters fan. Love it. I'm a bigger fan now.
Better not play too much of that. I don't want them coming after us. Did you hear there is a brawl, a melee, a fracas?
I believe it's fracas.
I know. On a golf course in Wichita as part of the Corn Ferry Tour that was just here at Blue Hills a few weeks ago. Two golfers got into a fight that ended with one arrest during Monday's qualifying round in Newton.
Newton is just north of Wichita.
Newton Police Department records show that 20-year-old Luke Smith was booked on Monday afternoon on suspicion of misdemeanor battery for, quote, causing rude physical contact. Can't make that up. The official results from the Corn Ferry Tour qualifier show Smith, who is a junior-to-be in Tennessee, was disqualified from the tournament. The fight attracted national attention after a golf blog first reported the story. According to the blog, Smith allegedly attacked one of his playing partners after a verbal confrontation. Smith's father, who is also his caddy, was accused of grabbing his son's putter to prevent a third golfer in the group from breaking up the fight. PGA's had no comment.
Oh, this was a PGA-sanctioned event?
The Corn Ferry Tour, yes!
The Corn Ferry Tour?
The Corn Ferry Tour is aware of the incident. The individuals involved are not current Corn Ferry Tour members. We are in the process of gathering more details and have no further comment at this time.
Don't act like I should know what the Corn Ferry Tour is. Is this like the minor leagues of the PGA?
This is the tour where they are all trying so hard to win and win again. And the more you win, you can get your PGA card.
You get closer
punched.
And closer to getting to the big show.
Yes. This is the one that's actually good to watch because they're amazing golfers and they're so close, but they're not quite there yet.
Apparently, they've got a little pent-up frustration about it.
Apparently, Dad steps in with a putter and.
Dude, I'm going to take my 9-iron to your head in about 10 seconds. You better step. You better
Sam
check
said
yourself
earlier,
before you wreck yourself.
Golf's never been more exciting.
It's true.
Was this moment
that
was
I will tune in
a
for.
Melee in Wichita?
Dude, can you imagine if that Koepka kid and Mickelson
just threw down
on that last round. What was that? Was that the Masters or no?
No, it was at the U.S. Open or U.S. Opens this week. It was at the last PGA Championship event.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't care, but it was fun to watch. Can you imagine though, as like they're right around there and it's down to the wire and Mickelson's
Happy Gilmore
right,
style.
And Koepka just goes running across with his bad knee, clunk, and just Price clocks him wrong. With an eight. Price is wrong. Now that would be golf I could really get into.
The fight started because one of the players would not help his opponent in the search for a ball that could not be found. And it is...
Find it yourself.
Well, but it's
you hit it. Find it.
It is nice when the clock is ticking to go over and say, let me help you look. Because you would want them to do the same for you.
But let me ask you this. As you're the golfer here. I think I've golfed 5 times in my entire life. When you go over to help your opponent look for the ball, are you really looking?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
And if you were to find it, would you really tell them?
Yes, you do tell them. Because if your ball is lost, you want them to help you too.
Well, you look at just about as well as you do mm-hmm. when you're writing down the numbers on the house of the you're about to leave dog poop in their yard house.
I do that. I do look.
Listen to this from the Newton, Kansas Police Department. The argument began when the suspect and Father Caddy refused to help the victim look for an errant golf ball in the rough.
Errant.
The suspect then punched the victim in the face and tackled him to the ground.
Oh, that's right.
He held the victim down until he said uncle and then released him. I swear to God. This is from the Newton Police Department.
What are we, 10? Say uncle. Say uncle.
Luke Smith of Covington, Tennessee was arrested and booked on one count of misdemeanor battery.
Uncle.
What are we, 7?
Oh my God, nerds.
Uncle.
Say it. Say uncle. I'll let you up, I promise.
Poor kid. Uncle. You know, they're under a lot of pressure.
All right, Data Right, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks. Coming up, why you hate. They have finally figured it out. Why you hate the sound of your own voice.
Say what you need to say. 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 Need to say.
All right, we finally know, apparently, why we hate the sound of our own voice, unless your name is Dana Wright. This is from the University of Washington, where researchers say the discomfort we have over hearing our voices in audio recordings is due to a mix of physiology and psychology. For one, the sound from an audio recording is transmitted differently to your brain than the sound generated when you speak. When listening to a recording of your voice, the sound travels through the air and into your ears, what's referred to as air conduction. The sound energy vibrates the eardrum and small ear bones. These bones then transmit the sound vibrations, blah, 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 which, okay. However, when you speak, the sound from your voice reaches the inner ear in a different way. While some of the sound is transmitted through air conduction, most of the sound that you actually hear when you listen to your own voice when you're talking is internally conducted directly through the bones in your skull. When you hear your own voice when you speak, it's due to a blend of both external, you hear yourself speaking, but also internal conduction. And that is why your voice sounds different when you're talking than when you're listening.
Then when you hear it back.
Yes, because you're having conduction internally and externally. When you're listening to your voice on a recording, you're getting conduction only externally.
And it's weird because I don't notice it, say when I'm recording a news story and I have to go back and edit it, I don't notice it right then and there, but then when I hear the story play, it sounds completely different.
Listen to this, Sam. People generally perceive their voice as deeper and richer when they speak. However, in comparison, their recorded voice often sounds thinner and higher pitched, which many people find cringeworthy. I agree with that. When I hear my own voice in my, you know, as I'm talking right now, I'm like, that's not a half bad voice.
Okay.
I could do commercials.
You're like, wow.
And then I hear it played back. I'm like, oh God. Awful. All right.
Okay. I hate to go all investigative discovery on you here, but I'm about to. There is a story in the Kansas City Star today about the methods, and I don't want to make this about the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. This is about police departments across the country. The methods that are used in eyewitness identification, photo lineup identification, and in-person lineup, like you see in the movies, identification. Number one, step forward. Number three, step forward. You know those,
right? It's always number three, by the way.
It's always number three.
So the one they want is always number three.
Duh. Anyway, members of the police board today started talking about creating reform in the way detectives use eyewitnesses in investigations. And you know this, Scott. Here's why this is important. I'm going to look up the stat, but it's jaw-dropping. In all of the wrongful convictions that we've talked about, big ones, people are put away for God knows how long for something they didn't do. It is almost always traced back to crappy eyewitness identification, either in person or the photo lineup. And I want to talk about it because there's a specific way that they're supposed to do this in police departments that lessens the chance that you will misidentify your attacker. But I don't know if police departments anywhere follow that or if it's just more, as this story suggests, passed down from detective to detective how you do a photo lineup.
So what's the change?
They're wanting to overhaul the whole thing and codify it. Write down, this is what is allowed, this is what is not allowed. And you've seen these studies. For anyone who thinks they are good at making an eyewitness identification in a rushed, scary moment during, like, let's say a robbery. Do you know how bad we all are at that, Scott?
The studies have borne out that we're terrible. That
we're terrible, especially when it's of a different race than yours. And that's all races. If you're a black victim trying to identify a white suspect, if you're a white suspect trying to identify an Asian person,
a white victim.
Yes, victim. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the race is. If it's different than your own, we suck as human beings at identifying correctly a different person.
576-7798. Quick break for the news. Get some more of your calls or get your thoughts. Get some calls in just a moment if you want to weigh in on this. 576-7798.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Red story here from the Associated Press. You're going to hear two words here in a second, two topics we will never discuss. With abortion and guns already on the agenda, those are the two, abortion and guns. With abortion and guns already on the agenda, the Supreme Court is considering adding a third blockbuster issue, whether to ban consideration of race in college admissions. The justices could say very soon whether they will hear an appeal claiming that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants in a case that could have nationwide repercussions. The case would not be argued until the fall or winter, though. Says Gregory Gehr, who twice defended the University of Texas admissions program before the Supreme Court, quote, it would be a big deal because of the nature of college admissions across the country, because of the stakes of having this issue before the Supreme Court. The presence of three appointees from the previous president could prompt the court to take up the case, even though it's only been 5 years since its last decision in a case about affirmative action in higher education. They ruled back then that universities may consider race in admissions decisions. But before you get too caught up in this story, let me point out, I believe that the case is being brought by Asian Americans
students, yes,
who say that they are discriminated against because
they are Asian.
And more should be getting into Harvard. And
so here's what they said, and they have not identified who the Asian students are, but the students applied to Harvard, by most accounts, should have gotten in if there were blind admissions, should have gotten in, you know, best ACT score, best SAT score, you know, well-rounded, great kid, all of that stuff, but they didn't get in. And the Asian students are arguing they didn't get in because they are Asian, and Harvard already has a certain number of Asian students. And so if you are Asian, you can't just be outstanding. You have to be unfairly epic outstanding to get into an Ivy League school.
The group claims that Harvard imposes a racial penalty on Asian American applicants by systematically scoring them lower in some categories than other applicants and awarding, quote, massive preferences to Black and Hispanic applicants. Harvard, by the way, denies this.
Well, no, this is the jaw-dropping statistic. Harvard has said the number of Black and Hispanic students would drop by half if the affirmative action program were to be struck down, meaning high performing Asian students all trying to get into Harvard would take those slots, and the Black and Hispanic student population would be blocked by half. Scott, we're not talking six or seven kids. And Harvard has argued that it's in everyone's best interest to have a racially diverse campus where, yes, you have Asian students, but you also have Black students, white students,
Hispanics,
transgender kids. They want a melting pot at Harvard. And what Harvard is saying, and I understand this, is that if we just go by test scores, we will have, I don't want to say a predominantly Asian campus.
It would be disproportionately high.
That's the word. It would be a disproportionately high Asian student body.
Listen to this. Further down in the story, the class that just finished its freshman year at Harvard is roughly 25% Asian American.
Okay.
Asians, by the way, make up 6% of the U.S. population, but 25% of Harvard's freshman class. 15% of freshmen at Harvard are Black. The Black population in the United States is 13%, and the freshman population is 13% Hispanic, and Hispanics make up 19% of the American population. Which is to say, by the way, that whites, which are 60% of the U.S. population, would make up about, let me see, 45% of the freshman class.
So UCLA law professor Rick Sander has looked into this, and he spoke with NPR. And I'm going to quote him here. If you look roughly at the median student who gets admitted by Harvard, if the median student is African-American, they have a 90 to 95% chance of admission. If they're Asian, it drops to 25%. It is a very heavy weight being put on race.
What do you do?
I don't know. I'm not a Harvard kind of gal.
Yeah, you could ask.
I didn't have kids who are Harvard kind of people. We're happily very average over here.
Yeah. You could ask, well, why does Harvard then even require a little check on the race box? That's a fair question. But sometimes, and let's be honest, sometimes your name can give your race away.
We have heard stories of kids who are being told,
change your name.
Change your name. That's insane.
I'm Charlie. That's not your real name. That's my name on the application.
Here's another interesting.
Well, you remember the girl over at who graduated,
Shawnee Mission North, I think it was.
Shawnee Mission North.
Yeah.
For her graduation present, her mother was in tears. For her graduation present, she wanted to get her name legally changed, and her mother did do it.
To sound less, and this is the
less
girl's
ethnic.
Own words, she wanted a name that sounded less ethnic. here's the other thing I don't understand. And if our lawyers are listening, please call in and explain this. The U.S. Supreme Court is asking President Biden's administration what their views are on this Harvard admission dispute. I've never seen this happen.
They're
asking the White House, do you want us to weigh in? Do you want us to dip our toe in this pool? Yes or no?
Sounds strangely political.
It's strangely political.
576-7798. Al in Brookside. Al, good afternoon and hello.
Hi. We had a son who went to Harvard about 25 years ago. Mm. And we were told at the time that Harvard could fill up its freshman class with all valedictorians, but it didn't want to.
Right.
Now, of course, a valedictorian at one school is different from one at another school. If a valedictorian, you know, somebody 5% down in a tough high school is probably above the valedictorian in an easy high school.
Correct.
But it strikes me that even though they might want a diverse class and they might want to, you know, get the violin player as well as the good tennis player as well as a good baseball player, if they meet a certain standard, that's okay. But when they just flat say, we're going to discriminate against Asians, which is in effect what they're doing, that's wrong because that's racial.
But does the college or any college not have an interest in having a freshman class that is reflective of America?
Well, then Harvard has failed already.
Yeah, that's
because of the higher percentage of Asian students. Is that what you're saying, Scott?
Remarkably higher percentage. Sorry, go ahead, Al. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you know, once it becomes racial, it really makes it very difficult. It's one thing to say, well, you know, we want, as I say, musicians and athletes and all this, as long as they've met a certain standard. But one of the complaints is that when they interview an Asian or when they score something, they'll say, well, they don't, or he or she doesn't hit the getting along well, or the subjective thing as opposed to the object. And that's the way they use to discriminate against Asians to hold the number down. So, you know, once they start looking at racial numbers, it just makes it very difficult.
All right,
thank you for the call.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
And it may be a rhetorical question. If this lawsuit is accurate, that Asian American students, and that doesn't just mean, you know, students of Japanese, Chinese, Korean descent, it includes people of Indian descent as well. Asia is a very large continent, obviously. If their lawsuit is accurate and their numbers are being pushed down discriminatorily, okay, what would they be? What would the Asian American student body population be if there were no restrictions?
Predominant.
Like the majority. They make up 25% of the student body already. And if they're being artificially pushed down, discriminated against, if you will, would it be 60% Asian American at Harvard? If all constraints were released,
yes.
All considerations were removed?
I don't want to put a number to it. It would be a large number. And again, the number of Black and Hispanic students admitted would drop by half.
From 1291, I feel like this Harvard issue could all be settled with a very nice letter from Roger Waters of Pink Floyd. I know! I know! 576-7798. Looks like the Supreme Court might very well take up this case of Harvard. Do they discriminate against people just because they are from Asian descent?
And what does that ruling mean beyond academia, Scott?
You mean like jobs?
Yes.
576-7798. Sam Stevie, Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Hey!
Welcome back. You had some interesting questions during the break. Would you care to pose them?
Well, I just want to know if, in fact, the Biden administration says to the U.S. Supreme Court, yes, we want you to wade into these waters and answer the affirmative action question as it applies to colleges. Is it fair to deny Asian Americans entrance
based on their race?
Based on their race, because they are so high performing that if you let all of the Asians in who want to be into Harvard, they would have a much larger Asian population on campus than is reflected in the general community, basically. And I asked Scott during the break, what would this mean in employment, in hiring, with respect to affirmative action? And quite frankly, all the way down to something like the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee that is going on today on ESPN3.
I don't know. First of all, the Biden administration's response should be, that's none of your business what we think.
I agree.
Do your own job.
The asking the administration thing is so weird to me. Do you want us to take this case?
That's none of your business what we want.
I think they need to take the case, Scott, because different appellate courts below are probably all over the board on this.
Let's go to Jennifer in Northeast Kansas City. Jennifer, hello.
Hi there. I love you guys. Love your show. And I'm a frequent caller.
Thank you.
I'm listening and I'm just like, Dana, how is this so, like, just, you can't wrap your head around it. And I don't understand. And I think, I hate to speak for every minority, but I think a lot of the minorities are like, well, duh. You know, I don't know why this is, or saying it's strangely political. Everyone knows Harvard is a predominantly, you know, over it. They're not, they don't lean towards the left. Let's just say I graduated.
Well, I would disagree with that, but go ahead.
I graduated in 2000. I'm only a quarter history. I graduated from Westport High School. I couldn't get, even being valedictorian, I could not get a scholarship from anyone. And it was my counselor who suggested the Casey Hispanic Scholarship Fund. And I got it. And they paid my way in UMKC for the first 2 years. And I was blessed. But there were so many full-blooded Hispanic girls that surpassed me as far as education, as far as test scores, as far as even the schools that they came from. I don't find it ironic at all. I think the Supreme Court, exactly, do ask us to do our job. That's like saying, hey, America, are we going to continue to be racist or not? These are things that have been going on for decades. I mean, beyond decades, and I'm so glad that we're waking up in society now and we're seeing it, but it saddens me to hear so many people like Dana, you know, or my aunt, for instance, on my white side, who's like, I just can't believe it, and I don't know what there's not to believe about it. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I don't understand, as being in Harvard, why you went, or Yale, why you wouldn't want the best of the best, regardless of race. Why can't we just take the box off? And then you have all these other questions.
Well, Jennifer, in large part because I think many colleges hope that they're preparing you for life in the real world, and the real world in the United States is not 60% Asian American.
Yeah, I get that. But in the real world also, you make a good point there. They are kind of preparing them for the real world. They're letting them know that this is what's going to come. Racism is everywhere, and you're going to get it denied a lot of things. And you're going to put in certain brackets, and you're going to be that one token Hispanic girl in an all-black store, or vice versa. And I think that's just going to be the continuum. I mean, that maybe they are showing in the real world. But as far as asking the president for anything, or whether the Supreme Court should actually do their job, yes, it should go to the Supreme Court. It's saddening.
Okay, all right, we got to stop you there. Hey, brother. Take a quick break for the news. When we get back, you love Girl Scout cookies, don't lie. And if you like those Thin Mints, there are plenty, plenty.
Have as many boxes as you want.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. Here on Dana and Parks, news is next.
For you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bay- Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.